Welcome to McDonald's. How may I hurt you?
How may I hurt you today? Did you say McFlurry? This bitch thinks she's getting ice cream. Holy shit.
I'm sorry, our ice cream machine's broken.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
If you go on a show where you're standing behind a curtain from the waist down, and someone on the other side of the curtain is whacking you off while you sing a Celine Dion song to 750,000 people on the other side of a live broadcast, sanitation is probably the least of your concerns.
But I thought you were showing me one of the girls had on a mask.
They
all had on masks.
Well, yeah, COVID.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I am Brian Green. This is my dear friend and beautiful co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
And best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. The 21 EPM stickers are
taken off like wildfire.
Like wildfire, like hotcakes. At least two sightings out in the wild.
Yes. People have sent us their pictures. I love it.
It's insane. It's insane. So, for those of you that don't know, might be new to the show, just tuning in, or just have no clue what we're talking about, you would be like us. We also have no clue what we're talking about. 21 EPM, 21 ejaculations per month, was a number noted by a scientific review of prostate cancer and possible preventions for prostate cancer. And one of the things that came out of this huge study that was done for like 10 years was that men that ejaculate more than 21 times per month are decreasing their chances of prostate cancer.
That's right.
Not by a little, but by a lot. So Chrissy and I are doing
your part.
That's right. We're doing our part as good citizens, as good global citizens, and just lovers of semen in general. I don't want to speak for both of us, but I'll speak for both of us here. You're a lover of jizz, aren't you, Chrissy? I'll edit that for you. And so Chrissy and I had this, we were just talking about this story. And one of the things that came to my mind during the story is that we should have
We thought of marathon stickers that say 26.2 or whatever.
Right.
I don't even know if that is actually,
because
I've never run
a
marathon.
I have run a half marathon.
But I've seen those on the back, and we were like, wait a minute.
What if we
have the 21 EPM?
What if we could get the word out
with
the best possible marketing known to man, which is billboards on the side of the road in Iowa? Yeah. But the second best marketing ploy ever devised.
Attempted by us.
Correct. Are these bumper stickers that we created 21 EPM. Now, the original idea was to put 21 EPM and then have a stick figure with a little boner hanging out. But
like the stick family.
Yeah, like the stick family.
The one with a boner.
Yeah. A stick figure with an extra stick,
yes.
I think is exactly how it was put. But we went to our attorney and he said, probably not. Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that. But we did put these 21 EPM stickers together because we thought it was a good idea. And we started giving them away for free. Well, recently, our first batch went out a couple
of
weeks ago.
People have to write in, give us their address, and we write a note back to you.
We write a note back. We put the 21 EPM sticker. We sent a bunch of them out. Our first batch went out about a month ago. And then over the last couple of weeks, we started to receive photographs of people that are actually putting these on the back of their car.
Yes.
It's crazy.
So exciting.
It's crazy. Our good friend in Canada, and then someone else wrote in, and then there's a third person who – it's lovely. If you'd like your 21 EPM sticker, you know how to get it. It's 855-TCB-8383, 855-TCB-8383. Text us with your address and we'll send you a 21 EPM sticker. Here's great. So remember that little band that I was in, not 33P. That was a different, it's actually called 33 Willie, but we call it 33 Penis around here. Because everything must revolve around
it
dicks
does.
Here at the commercial break.
Because
I'm a 13-year-old boy.
I have come to accept it.
Thank you, Chrissy. I appreciate it. You're letting that devil on my shoulder get the best of the commercial break. When we were starting the band Chopper Johnson.
Right, another fantastic name.
Another fantastic name with clearly a phallic reference, which I didn't even think about when I came up with the name and I didn't even think about it. And let me tell you how excited the guys in the band were when I came up with this name, Chopper Johnson. It was the name of a song that I wrote on the back of a piece of paper when I was auditioning for them. I was like, Chopper Johnson!
You had a burst of creativity.
I had a burst of creativity. What came out of my mouth? Chopper Johnson, a one-armed guitarist It was a song about a one-armed guitarist who got in fights at the bar.
Nice.
As a producer once said to me, that's pretty deep, man. Not really. That's what he said. It's pretty deep. Not really. He said, not really. I didn't. He did. So anyway, so
is this the same producer that said, y'all, no.
No.
This isn't working.
That wasn't a producer. That was like a manager type.
From Rush.
Yeah, the guy from Rush. Not the actual guy from Rush, but okay. A guy who worked with Rush. No.
A guy who knew someone in Rush.
Yeah, Geddy Lee didn't walk in and go, wow, Chopper Johnson. Great name, bad song. It's not about a dick. So our great idea, once we got Chopper Johnson, the name, once we all rallied around that name, in the studio that we had, we were in the top of an office building that one of the guys in the band worked with.
Oh, okay.
And so the office building had an extra room that they allowed us to turn into a practice studio.
Well, like the supply closet?
Kind of, yeah. A little bit bigger than the supply closet. And we had this 47-channel mixer on this big like stand that it was typical garage band bullshit,
sure.
Only it was in an office building. It was insane. So, but at night, in order to, you know, make some marketing materials, we would use the copier and the collator just in case. We had these stickers you would put in the printer, you know, uh-huh. Like a sticker piece of paper, like a blank piece of paper. So we started making stickers that said, where in the world is Chopper Johnson? Do you remember where in the world is
Waldo
David? No, who's that guy? Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
No, remember the Atlas? Oh, where in the world is like the Atlas Shrugged? No, you don't remember. Okay, Anyway. So we put these stickers together. Where in the world is Chopper Johnson? And they were like this big. They were like an inch tall and 7 inches across. You couldn't see these things. If you had a telescope and you were standing 4 feet from it, you couldn't read the writing. It was that small. But we thought this was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
So we'd go to Taco Bell and we'd like put the sticker on the drive-thru window.
Oh, on the drive-thru window. I thought you were going to say on other people's cars.
No, we would never put them on people's cars, but we were putting them everywhere else. We were putting them on lamp posts and all. If no one First of all, we didn't have a website because there weren't even websites back then, I don't think. But second of all, how are you going to figure out who Chopper Johnson is by putting a sticker up that says, where in the world is Chopper Johnson?
You were thinking you were creating buzz.
I thought I was creating buzz. Yes. I certainly was creating buzz.
You were creating
the local
buzz?
Taco Bell. Bunch of stone people like, Chopper Johnson, is that about a dick? So this is our grand strategy right now. Our grand marketing plan is to give you the stickers you can put on the back of your car. And if someone has trifocals on, they'll be able to read that it's from the commercial break.
Yeah, it's pretty large.
Well, yeah, 21 EPM is pretty large, but the commercial break, not so much.
No.
No, it's a design flaw on that sticker.
That's okay. It does say best to you at the top.
It does say best to you. So so if you want your 21 EPM sticker, you know where to get them. Speaking of 21 EPMs a month, Chrissy, I recently... Do you know what the word Takoki stands for?
I do not.
Okay. Takoki is a Japanese word, and I'm probably butchering it. It's Takoki or Dikoki. Takoki or Dikoki in Japanese means, of course... Hand job.
Of course.
Of course. Because that's the first Japanese word you learn. It's Takoki.
Okay.
I saw on Instagram the other day, I'm flipping through and I look and it's one of those Japanese game shows. And the guy is singing a song like a Celine Dion song, you know. You are. He's singing it.
In Japanese?
In broken English.
Okay.
He's singing this. But he's making all these weird faces. He's like, oh, no. It looks like he's like getting electrocuted or getting whacked off.
Okay.
One of the two. The reveal 20 seconds later is he's getting whacked
that
off while
crazy.
He's doing karaoke.
That is crazy.
It's called Takoki Karaoke. And it's a program on Japanese television is fucking wild,
it
and
is.
I love it.
That's
I
true.
Wish instead of TLC we had Takoki Karaoke because I would be so happy about this. It is a game show where literally girls, ladies, who apparently are professional Takoki artists,
okay.
Whatever that is, like you know, a sexual healer, mm-hmm. Whatever you want to call
right.
it, sex worker. And their job in this particular game show situation is to make the man climax to the climax of the song.
Ah.
And if you can do that, then you get points and everybody wins. And I don't know what you win, a handful of Vaseline? I'm not even sure how that works. But this is fucking wild. Wild.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And why do we not have this kind of programming in the United States? How is it that Maury fucking Povich is still on air, but we don't have Kakioki? Why don't we have Takeyoki Kakioki?
We need it.
We absolutely need it. And I thought about for like 2 seconds that we should do this here at the commercial break, but then if they're not going to let us have a stick figure on the, if the lawyers say no to the stick figure on the bumper sticker, I'm sure Kakioki is way
Yeah,
out.
No, it's out.
But wouldn't that be awesome?
Right.
If there was a television show here that did the exact same thing. One of the other things that they were showing. So it looks
like the sanitariness of this whole organization needs to go the extra mile.
Let me probably just work something out here in our heads together. I'm going to think for the both of us. If you go on a show where you're standing behind a curtain from the waist down, mm-hmm. and someone on the other side of the curtain is whacking you off while you sing a Celine Dion song to 750,000 people on the other side of a live broadcast, sanitation is probably the least of your concerns.
But I thought you were showing me one of the girls had on a mask. They all had on masks.
Well, yeah, COVID.
Okay, all right. I'm just going to roll with it on this. That's crazy.
Hold on, before we get started, I definitely want everyone around me to wear a mask. She's whacking you off with her toes. What are you doing? Who cares?
I can't believe they have this.
How do you ever get a... Now, I understand, like, the culture there is different. And I think these game shows have a long history of being wild and insane.
Wacky.
Yeah, wild and wacky. And I think, in a lot of ways, it's considered family entertainment. How? I don't know. But they also sell panties on the streets and vending machines. So, but
this, maybe it's kind of like, you know, that's more part of the culture, just like, you know, having wine with dinner. And
yeah, having European wine with dinner, a stranger whack you off while you know, sing your favorite Disney song.
It's not in our culture, but
no.
Accepted.
I don't see a lot of hand jobs going on in my local karaoke.
I mean, you got to get your monthly number.
You do.
So they're doing their part as well.
Takeyoki karaoke. That's all I got to say.
Prostate, hashtag prostate health.
But let me, if you go on one of these shows, yeah, hashtag prostate health. Sure, that's the reason for going on the show. If you're a guy and you're thinking about doing this, like you're a Japanese man, you're a working guy, you got a family, you got friends, how do you get treated after you go on Takeyoki karaoke? Is it like, oh my God, you were on Takeyoki karaoke? Or is it like, holy shit, dude, you want on Takeyoki karaoke?
Well, I think it depends on if you win or not. If you win, everybody's like, yeah, but if you lost, then everybody's like,
you think the embarrassment largely depends on how many points you get?
At that
whether
point,
or not you actually
at
jizzed?
That point,
yeah.
I mean, if you're there, you might as well go to win.
If I'm there, I'm jizzing right at, you know, wherever you are. Let it go.
Wait, let it go. Wait, what was your 33 Willie song? Eggs about eggs, or what was it?
Sunny Side Up.
Sunny Side Up.
Sunny Side Up. I can honestly say I have never been whacked off to one of my own songs.
Yeah, well,
but you know, I still got some life left in me yet.
You do.
Still working on a
should
plan.
Propose that to Astrid.
Astrid. Lucky Astrid's still in the same house with me. This stupid show. Being on the commercial break is a lot like being on an episode of Takeyoki Karaoke. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it depends on who's looking at you. I mean, I went to the, I'm not going to mention where I went, but I went somewhere and it's couples. I introduced myself. Guy asks, what do you do?
Yeah.
I'd say I'm in the podcast industry.
Yes.
And what podcast? Oh, yeah. And he goes, what do you do in the podcast industry?
I'm still trying to figure out exactly crafting my elevator speech.
How do you, yeah, what is this? What is the follow up to that? It is so very difficult. So very difficult.
Depending on who it is, I will say.
Stranger.
Yeah. I mean, depending on if I think they're cool or not.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
But if I don't think they're cool or they're, it's not, because it is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. I think I'm going to maybe start saying it's the comedy genre. I'll work in the whole thing.
Yeah. I do all of it.
All of it. I'm just
cover all the karaoke. I just do all comedy.
I'm a contributor.
So He goes, what do you do? Podcast industry. Oh, what do you do in the podcast industry?
I was reading, not to interrupt you, sorry, but I was reading the other day in an etiquette little article that I read. It's actually considered rude not to ask somebody what they do, like at a party or something.
It's considered rude not to ask them?
No, to ask.
To ask them what they do?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're making an assumption that they have a job?
Whatever. Yeah, it's just so fractured now, and so people are all over the place. So.
Really? What is left to ask?
I can kind of, I don't know. I can kind
of. Did you hear that dicks have grown 30%? How much has your dick grown in the last decade? I mean, what are you supposed to ask?
Well, it would prevent these types of situations. So what did happen? Go back to your
podcast
story.
Industry. Oh, what do you do in the podcast industry? I sell advertisements.
Oh, okay. Right.
Oh, for which podcast? Right.
Comedies.
I'm stuck right there. Yeah.
Comedies.
Improv
comedies.
It's a
network of comedies.
Yeah. It's, you know, we have over 200 people watching every single episode. I'm a stand-up comedian that does stand-up comedy podcasts, according to some. I don't know this. So then, but then Astrid goes, oh, he has a podcast. It's called The Commercial Break. And I'm like,
Astrid's so proud.
Oh, she's like, why do you do this? Why do you not just say you have a podcast that's called The Commercial Break? Because I don't know how people are going to react to that. She goes, if they've never heard it, they're not going to react like anything. They don't even know what it is.
No, most people have not heard.
No.
No one I've ever heard.
No one's ever. I've never met anybody. I've met three people as strangers that have heard it.
If they go listen to it later, then.
People. Yeah, that's my concern, is I really don't want them listening. I'm embarrassed of my own show. That's the truth.
I'm not embarrassed of it at all. We certainly have an audience, and we love the audience, and we're all in on the joke together, right?
Yeah.
With the people in the know.
That's right. Everyone who's listening isn't on the joke.
But like my mother-in-law is not in it. I don't want her to be a part of it anywhere near.
She doesn't want
8 p.m. talk.
You don't want your mom. You don't want us to send your mother-in-law a 21 EPM sticker just for shits and giggles? Does she even know the name of the podcast?
I don't know.
Has Jeff ever mentioned it?
I don't know.
Would Jeff be embarrassed to mention it?
No.
Would he be Jeff like, hey, Chrissy's Jeff. Got this great
she does.
Podcast
he does.
Called The Commercial
he
Break?
He does. He tells everybody.
Okay. Yeah. Why are our spouses more proud of the show than we are? Why is that? I swear to God, I have this little bit of imposter syndrome when it comes to the commercial break. And not like I shouldn't be on the commercial break. Of course I should be on the commercial break. It's just bad enough for me to be on, right?
I think maybe just some of our subjects can be a little...
Yeah,
you know,
when you're talking about ghost fuckers and, you know, a bunch of...
We think it's funny.
Hairy rednecks running around chasing fictitious monsters. We think it's funny. It's our brand of humor, but it's not everybody's brand of humor. And I think I get two things, right? One, I can't believe that anybody listens to the show. So when I look at numbers or someone gives us an accolade or I'm like, oh my God, it doesn't register at all. Doesn't register. It's like bounces right off.
Yes.
I'm still that guy sitting in front of a computer watching Chrissy on a bad Zoom phone call with my shittier microphone, right? I'm still doing this to just one person, and that's Chrissy Hoadley. Number
I feel
one.
The same way.
Number two, I just don't know how to tell people about the commercial break, what it is, without a great deal of embarrassment. Like, I'm just like, I don't know what else to say. So Astrid goes, the commercial break, blah, blah, blah.
Well, because it would be different if you met somebody at a party and you said, you were able to say, we analyze, you know, the classic, mm-hmm. the classic books of the last century.
We take great literature from the 16th century and we dissect it page by a page. We take all the classics. Take yoki karaoke.
See, that sounds really boring to me, and I probably would never go to listen to that podcast. So that we need to find something that's super boring.
Yeah.
That people are like, oh, cool.
You're right.
But they're not going to go listen to it because it's going to be boring.
You know Oprah's book club? Without Oprah. Yeah, just like that. Exactly. It's just like that. It's Super Soul Sunday, only not on Sundays and without the soul.
TC Book Club.
TC Book Club. Mm-hmm. Yep. The Crappy Book Club. TCB. That's what it stands for.
The Crappy Book Club.
Crappy Book Club.
I think this is it. We've hit upon it.
I think we've got it. Because the other thing to say is, you know, hey, I'm on the commercial break and we talk a lot about jizz.
Yes.
Have you had your fill of jizz talk this month? No?
If not, yeah. Tune on in.
Or like one of the reviews said, if you need to talk about cocaine and jizz, just turn into the commercial break.
I saw that.
And then, by the way, every time I re-listen to a show, we're talking about jizz or cocaine.
Exactly.
That's just like we started this episode. I think that's it. You know, but I look at other guys and girls. I was over at a whatever, and I'm talking to a gentleman, and really nice guy, and he says, what do you do? And I said, oh, I got a podcast. You know, oh, great. What is it? The commercial break. I felt comfortable. He's young. Yeah. He's like, you know, hip, cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was in a
place.
That's
what I'm saying. It depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, I felt like I was in the tree of trust and the safe space and all that. And said, what do you do? And he goes, oh, I got a... Or the guy next to him says, oh, he's got a very popular YouTube channel. He gets like 650,000 views per episode.
He said that about you?
No, he said that about this other guy. I wish. Unfortunately, anybody who introduces me gets it wrong on the bad side. Yeah. They're not like, oh, Brian gets 250 million downloads per episode. Yeah. It's like, if this is Brian, he's the co-host of the commercial breaks.
He's a stand-up comedian.
It's a podcast on YouTube that you can find on Spotify and stream it right through Amazon Books. They have over 20 downloads per episode. They're doing great.
It's on your Kindle.
It's on your Kindle. What are you, my mom? You can't. You're at a podcast conference. You can't even know. You don't even know what a podcast is. So anyway, so guy says, he's got 650,000 per, you know.
And this is the guy that you were just talking to?
Yes, there's like three of us in the room.
You were like, great.
Yeah, I was like, great. My dick did not grow by 30%. Just sharing that with you. So I was like, wow, dude, that's really good. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you know, it's good. And I'm like, so what exactly, what's the topic? What are you doing? He's like, oh, I talk to porn stars about how they like to be fucked. And I was like,
what?
Why can't I have that kind of gusto when I talk about the commercial break?
There, we should not.
I know. Yeah. We should never be embarrassed again, because just remember. But then again, when you have 650,000 views, it's like a legitimate business.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't quantify the commercial break.
No.
We have 3 million downloads per month. Yeah? Is that like a play? Is that like a, how do you tune that in?
Yeah.
The average age of our audience is 72. I see a lot of AOL addresses and MSN addresses coming through, guys. That's all I got to say, okay? All right? I got
it. I can't believe
they're
still around.
Yeah, we're all in the same place. you know, went back, way back when I had the baby, and we were just starting, ending season 3, starting season number 4. When I had the baby, one of the things that I wanted to share with you, which leads into a larger discussion, is that, you know, that hospital here in Atlanta, that Northside Hospital?
Yes.
You know that they still have a fucking 24-hour McDonald's?
Wow.
In that Northside Hospital? Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem insane to you?
There was a Chick-fil-A in a hospital down near me.
There was a Chick-fil-A in the hospital?
Mm, yeah. I don't think they were 24 hours, though.
Well, this one's 24. I think 24 hours on certain days and nights. It also is the busiest birthing hospital in the world. Right?
You got to get your fix.
Yeah, you got to get your fix. But one of the things, and I've been going to Northside Hospital since I was a child. We all, if you live in
since
Atlanta.
Since you were born.
Since I was born. I was born in Chicago. Okay. But pretty close after that. Since the first time that I showed up at my dad's house, high as fuck, on weed that had been laced, and I was having a full-blown panic attack. And here's, I get high, I smoke a little weed, right? And like 15 minutes later, I am way out of it. Like, not the regular kind of out it. Way out of it.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm sitting on a couch, and there's a bunch of other people at a house that I'm familiar with, and some people that I'm familiar with. And a guy that I know looks over at me and he goes, "You okay, man?" And I was like, I don't know. I'm feeling kind of fucked up. And he says to me, "You don't look good.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to stand up and take a walk, like go outside and get some fresh air." Mm-hmm. And I had never heard this before. When I was high, I never heard someone concerned for how I look after I'd gotten high.
Right.
Telling somebody that you look fucked up and weird does not help your anxiety when you're fucked up and weird.
No.
So I'm like, all of a sudden now I'm really twisted, because now not only do I feel like I've never felt before, but this guy just told me I look like I've never looked before. He's confirmed my internal paranoia has now gone external.
Right, because usually you can kind of talk to yourself and be like, it's just me. It's just me. That's fine.
Yeah, you're always like this, Brian. Something. He said, yeah, you're always like this, Brian. You're always weird like this when you get high. Don't worry about it.
It's cool, Brian. You're always weird when you're high. No one likes you when you're high.
Hey, bro, you're looking a little weird.
You're definitely, definitely fucked up, man. You're dying. You're dying. Are you still breathing? Of course I am. I'm about to spit. Shut up. Inner voice. Of course I'm still breathing.
Hey, dude, are you still breathing?
You're not breathing. I'm not breathing.
You know that voice.
Yeah.
So I convince one of the people there that they need to take me home to my house where my parents live at the time. My mom was gone. My dad's there. House is dark. It's like 1:30 in the morning.
Oh.
And I am so fucked up that I cannot seem to get the key out of my pocket, my house key,
oh, no.
Which, by the way, was on a chain. It was on a chain.
Attached to your pants.
It's on the chain. You're losing it. You don't even know how to move your arms anymore. Shut up. I know how to move my arms.
Hey, dude, are you able to move your arms?
I told you, you can't move your arms.
So I can't get the key in. So I ring the doorbell and I lay on the front porch. Like, I just lay down because I'm
lay down, dude. You're so fucked up. You're going to fall off the porch. Lay down. Shut up. I'm just fine.
Son, why are you laying on the ground?
I told you were laying on the ground.
Your poor dad.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Chrissy.
Your poor dad.
This is my dad. Opens the door, you know, in his sleeping briefs or whatever. Yes. Sleeping briefs.
The good old baggy boxers.
That's right. The baggy ball boxers. Which, by the way, sleeping briefs and awake briefs are the same, I think. But anyway, I digress. So he's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, Dad, I think I'm dying. He's like, you're not dying, you're high. All right. I'm taking you to the hospital. I'm dropping you off. He literally drove me to the hospital and dropped me off hospital, where they determined quickly that all I needed was a shot of Xanax and sleep it off, right? And my dad made me sign my own paperwork on that one. He was like, no, you're paying for this. I'm not paying for it. My very first lesson in how hospital billing works.
Yes, yeah, true.
They will come after you forever.
Right.
Sign someone else's name, man. They're going to come after you forever.
But I just remember that as soon as I woke up out of that, I don't have a cell phone. I probably have a beeper or some pager or something, but I don't have a cell phone.
In the hospital.
Yeah. And I am hungry. And I'm happy that I'm at Northside Hospital because I know that there is a McDonald's a couple steps down the way. Mm-hmm. Which surprises me.
Nutritious, good food right after your body needs.
Listen,
right after you. Nothing's in the hospital.
Yeah, nothing screams hospital food like a double bubble bacon burger.
I'll take a milkshake, extra large fry.
They are just keeping that customer conveyor belt rolling, right? They go in one end, they come out the other.
No green juice here.
No, forget about that. So we go to the McDonald's there has got to be the best McDonald's that still exists.
Okay.
And I think part of the reason why is because it's at a hospital. It's very, you know, there's a lot of people that go in and out of there. The franchisee, whoever that is, that owns that McDonald's, probably makes hand over fist bank.
Yeah.
Because nothing.
Those McDonald's owners are very wealthy, a lot of them.
Of course they are. Mm-hmm. McDonald's, anybody who owns those kind of franchises, mm-hmm. unless you have a really bad location for some reason, you're
but
a
McDonald's
millionaire.
Does all the work for you on that location thing. Remember Mr. Franchise?
Yeah, Mr. Franchise.
Frankie, it's me, Mr. Franchise.
This one's better.
Don't worry about those other.
I can't even do it without laughing.
No.
Don't worry about that. All those marketing dollars and all those millions of those millions of dollars in revenue go with Frankie B. You'll lose $350,000 right off the bat.
Yeah, I remember Frankie wanted to have our good friend Frankie is into the franchise.
He's into the franchise model
business.
Yeah,
but it's I say franchise loosely.
He's,
He's at the head. He's at the top of it.
He's at the top of it, and there's no one below him.
Right. Yeah. He's trying to recruit people. However, his salon suite that he was proposing in one video was out in the middle of nowhere.
That's right, Chrissy. Why bother with a company that has millions of locations and experience when you can get Frankie with his one location inside the coat closet in Oak Brook, Illinois? He's got years of he created the franchise model. He's Frankie B. You'll get all the support in the world as long as Frankie answers the phone. But he won't. Why? Because you just gave him $350,000. He's running down to Mallorca while you'll be here standing waiting for your franchise to be built.
Anyway.
They do all the work.
They
though.
Do all the work.
And then you know what I heard too is that I think this is correct is the Burger King or other fast food places come in and go right next to a McDonald's.
Of course they do.
McDonald's done all the work.
Yeah. Of Ray Kroc said I'm
high
not.
High trafficked areas.
High traffic is right. That traffic is all high. Da, 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 da. You know that Burger King song? There's a whole article written about how it's what's called an earwig. It gets in your ear and you can't get rid of it.
Earworm.
Earworm, earwig, whatever it's called. BK, have it your way. Send $500 to the commercial break. Thanks, Burger King. So this is like a really well-run McDonald's. But even the best-run McDonald's, in my opinion, now is crap. Like, I remember when I worked there many, many, many years ago, and I don't mean to sound like that old grandpa, but I worked there.
I had to walk.
Things were different.
I walked to work.
Mainly because I didn't have a car. But even if I did, I still would have walked to work. When I worked at McDonald's, you could have sex in the break room. The quality of food, in my opinion, in my personal opinion, fast food in this country, and I've been to a lot of fast food outlets around this country, like everybody has, is just atrocious. Mm. And the service is even worse. Have you met any, I mean, and I'm saying this like not as a generalization. I'm saying this because I think there's a lot of reasons why fast food has gotten so bad. And I think one of the reasons is the pay. Mm-hmm, when you pay people and they have to work seven other jobs to make a living, when they can't feed their family, when they're living in their cars. You know, there are Disney World employees that are living in their cars because they can't afford to live in Orlando right now. How do you live in Atlanta on $7.95 an hour? You cannot do that. And so when you go to the drive-thru window and you ask for your fucking quarter pounder with cheese without pickles and it comes with extra pickles on it, you know what? Those people don't give a shit because they don't get paid enough to give a shit.
That's true.
And I almost don't blame them. It's almost like, well, yep. I mean, that's what I get for supporting the corporation that's paying these people pittance to serve my fucking food, something I'm going to put down my throat. When I worked at McDonald's, there was like a whole different standard, right? Working at McDonald's wasn't a source of pride. Right. It wasn't like, yay, I work at McDonald's. Look at me. It's kind of like the commercial break. I didn't go and announce that I worked at McDonald's. But at the same time, there were people there in the middle-aged people who were either managers or grill people or whatever that lived off of the money that they made at the McDonald's. They worked 5 days, 6 days a week, and they did what they did, and they got paid enough to live. And they had families, and they supported those families.
It was a living wage at that point. Now it's not a living wage.
So we are asking people to give a shit when it's obvious, not that we don't give a shit, but that no one else gives a shit about them because all they care about is the almighty dollar and making sure that your burger gets microwaved fast enough. It's all such shit. And I wish that it wasn't like that. You know, the only restaurant that makes a difference, the only restaurant that you can ever go to anymore and get somebody that cares? Chick-fil-A.
I know.
Chick-fil-A. And I hate their politics, but their fucking chicken is good, man.
It is.
Fucking chicken
and
is good.
And the waffle fries.
So I thought to myself, I wonder if they're being trained the same way that I was trained. Because when I was trained at the McDonald's, it was like you really did
take pride.
Take pride, right? Even, and I didn't take pride in cleaning the fucking diarrhea off the back of a wall. Like, I didn't take pride in that. It wasn't like I was happy about it.
It was part of the job.
But at the same time, like if someone walked in, I greeted them. I said hello. I, you know, welcomed them. My son, my kids and I, and my twin brother went to Chuck E. Cheese 2 days ago.
Oh, God.
You?
Oh, my God. I haven't been there in forever. ever.
Chrissy, I don't even know what a Chuck E. Cheese is anymore.
Do they still have the dancing animated machines?
No, they don't. They have a fucking large TV that shows Chuck E. Cheese singing a song.
That's not the same.
And every hour, on the hour, Chuck E. Cheese comes out, and it's obviously the manager because he's wearing the same clothes from the head down. And he goes like this, and the kids run up. And listen, my daughter loved it. She loved to have, oh, Chuck E. Cheese. My son is terrified. But there are 50 video games in there, all of which are broken, none of which work. They charge you $30, and then no one, and I mean
no one.
And
the pizza's the worst there.
The pizza's delicious.
Oh, it's good?
Oh, the pizza's fucking delicious. There are fan clubs around Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
I don't remember it being good.
The pizza's delicious. It is, but it's microwave pizza. They just put it in the microwave or whatever they do. My point is that these kids that work there, they don't give a shit.
No, they don't.
We wanted those, we get the little tokens and the tickets when you do the little ski ball and that shit. I said, my son, he wants a little racer head or whatever.
That stuff.
Of course, that's what you go there for. Yes. You want to get that present, that prize at the end because you've been.
Play good games.
I just paid $30 for this stupid card that doesn't work in half the games. I want at least give my son a pencil eraser or something.
Yes.
It took 15 minutes for anybody to care. I look over and the manager is making TikTok videos sitting there drinking a soda. And they're making a TikTok video with me. They're like pointing it at me. And so I start going like this. I'm like, hey, dude, good. I hate to interrupt your TikTok live, but, and he's probably going, white guy about to go crazy.
Exactly.
We got a shooter in the building. I know I'm very well aware that I would like to say something to this kid, but I can't because he's probably got me on TikTok live.
Yes.
And they're going to connect the fact that I went on the commercial break and the whole world's going to hate me. So my point is it the training or is it the money or is it the attitude generally that everyone in the world has these days?
That all has to come together.
It all comes together.
Training, money, and the attitude.
Do you want to look and see what kind of training I got at McDonald's? Do you want to watch one of the videos that I had to watch as a trainee at McDonald's?
Yes.
Let's do that. I was scrolling on the internet.
As you do.
As I do like to do.
TCB.
Hey, everybody out there in the podcast universe, it's time for the dreaded commercial break inside the commercial break. It's season number 4. You've heard it all before, so let's get to it quickly. You can text us or leave us a voicemail at 1-855-TCB-8383. Questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas, send them to 855-TCB-8383 toll-free from anywhere in the world. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, to listen to any of the audio, watch any of the video, or send us a message. Hit the Contact Us button. Instagram and TikTok at The Commercial Break. And now YouTube videos, the same day they air on the audio feed, they'll air youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Chrissy and I are very grateful every time you choose to listen to The Commercial Break. If you're ever in the market for our sponsors, products, or services, all we ask is that you use the specialized URLs or codes. Thanks again for being part of the TCB family. Now let's hear from those sponsors, and we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break.
TCB.
We're going to take a little reminisce about Brian's first job as a proud fry cook and shit cleaner. And that's what I did. I stood at the fry basket.
You went from the shit to the fryer.
Yeah, my first job was
back and forth.
Job was like cleaning up the lobby. Mm-hmm. On, Saturdays and Sundays, because it was a part-time job. I was 14 years old. My dad had to sign and I had to get a work permit. And so my first job was cleaning up ashtrays, trash, making sure that take out the bags, put them up back. If someone needs an extra box of fries, do whatever. I was so scared of it. I mean, I was just like scared of people, scared of everything. But, these videos gave me.
Forced you out of the nest and into the world.
It sure did. I was working full-time at McDonald's within 6 months. I loved it so much because the McDonald's gave me inroads into the very adult world of drugs, alcohol, and sex.
That's right.
The miseducation of Brian Greene. It should be a book where I'm like half naked on the front cover with a little loincloth. The miseducation, the misspent youth of Brian Greene.
Ashing into a tin ashtray.
Ashing into a tin ashtray. Remember when McDonald's used to have like those, I don't know, like styrofoam cups that they used to put the Cokes in. They come in sleeves. You call them a sleeve. Uh-huh. It'd be like, go get six sleeves of medium cups, you know? Maybe I should just put one of those sleeves down near my balls with an ashtray.
Couple lines of Coke on the plastic tray.
That's right. Supersize that shit. You better supersize that.
I like it.
I was working at McDonald's in the age of supersize me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, supersize it. That you had to ask that question every time somebody orders something. You want to supersize that? Mm-hmm. You want to get extra fat? You want to die quicker? You look pretty miserable with those children in tow. You want to die a little quicker?
Yes.
All right. Here's a training video from the years, from around the time when I worked at McDonald's. It's going to start off with, just to let you know, this is the voice of Michael Jordan.
Hi. I've got something very new and special that I'd really like for you to see.
It's called Takeyoki Kakeyoki.
This was definitely part of some kind of endorsement deal that he had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Like, you have to be a part of the training videos for McDonald's.
Hey, I can just see his agent calling him right now. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to need you in town. I'm going to need you in Chicago for like 2 days. Why? You're going to do some training videos for McDonald's. Training videos for McDonald's? It's part of your $100 million endorsement deal. Right. I'll actually go work at McDonald's if you want me to.
Exactly.
It's a video about satisfying the customer called Doing Whatever It Takes. Now, you're probably wondering, what does Michael Jordan know about satisfying the customer? Well, let me tell you, when I step onto the basketball court, those 18,000 screaming people aren't just fans. They are my customers. They want to see more than just a basketball game. They expect to see a show. No matter what kind of day I've had, when I put on that uniform, my customers expect behind-the-back passes, long three-pointers, or great slam dunks. It's my job to deliver it, and I love it.
When you so similar to McDonald's.
Yes, yeah, just
very. The parallels are.
As a kid from Chicago that really idolized the Bulls and Michael Jordan and the Cubs and all that other stuff, this probably would have meant something to my 14-year-old brain. I would have been like, this is just a stepping stone on your way to fame, Brian. You'll be in a band and everyone will love you. It'll be called 33 Penis. Don't worry about the job. That's the other thing about my job at McDonald's is I felt like I was giving up my dreams to be a rock star out in LA when I got my job at McDonald's. Because I felt like all this extra time I could be practicing guitar.
Your McDonald's uniform. Your customers want more than just quick service with a smile. They expect to be treated as a guest in your home. And if you hadn't had the greatest of days, it's up to you to put on a show and do whatever it takes to satisfy your customer.
Including a little takeyoki.
Do whatever it takes.
The video you're about to see will show you the difference between good service and great personalized service we all must give our customers. And it will take you behind scenes to show you how your video is actually made. So let's see what it means behind to satisfy your customers.
Behind the scenes of how the training videos are actually made. One of the things that, if you go on Netflix and it says number one in the United States today, behind the scenes McDonald's training videos.
Bye. Do whatever it takes.
Thanks, Michael. This is when it gets really meta. So let me explain. I'm going to tee this up a little bit because I've seen a little bit of this. This is so hard to explain, but what's going on is, we're now going to be taken into a world where they are creating a training video for McDonald's, but they're going to break the fourth wall. It's essentially, just listen, you'll get it.
Okay.
I hope.
Good explanation.
Thanks, Chrissy.
You're like, hold on, I'm going to explain it.
Hold on, I'm going to explain. Sounds like me trying to
explain it.
Sounds just like me trying to tell people what I do for a living. Well, you're going to see that I break the fourth wall with a lot of jizz and cocaine.
Just listen.
Just listen.
Rolling. Everybody set? Slate, please.
Take one.
Dolly. And action.
Okay, so they're at a McDonald's. They're at the front counter. There's a very nicely dressed. There's a guy behind the counter with a tie on and a hat.
Thank you. Come again. Hi, how can I help you?
Whoa, cut. Hold it.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
That's not how you say it.
That's not the line. The line is, hello, may I help you? Let's do it again. Let's take it from the top.
Excuse me. Jim, come on, that's the wrong line. Help me out here. You're supposed to say...
Help me out here.
Help me out here, bro. I know we're up doing bumps all night long. We've had a little bit too much of the shoot. You know what I'm talking about? Help me out here, bro. The quicker you read the line right, the quicker we can get back to prostitutes and cocaine. This guy is like, the actor playing the director.
Yes.
It's such a cliche of a director.
Hello, welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please? That's the way you always say it.
Oh, Dave, sorry, but that's my fault.
Dave, that's my fault. You're an asshole, and I decided to rewrite all of this. I love this.
Well, I was talking to Jim a little bit earlier, and he said that he was feeling really stiff having to say, welcome to McDonald's, over and over again.
So I gave him a little tiki-oki.
Yeah.
Get him loosened up. Yeah.
So I told him what we tell our people all the time. Say what feels natural, but say it with a warm, sincere smile. I thought it was great.
Well, you're the real manager here, Barb. You should know. I'm just not used to letting the actors change the lines.
Oh, I
mean, they're paying me all this money to direct this. I did direct Ghost Boobs Part 2. I don't know if you saw that. Straight to video. Miramax. All right, Barb, it's up to you. You are a woman, and I am used to getting my way, so whatever you say.
I understand, believe me. I used to be the same way when it came to letting the crew people think for themselves.
Say, everybody, take a quick break, okay? What do you mean?
We need to discuss this further. Well,
we need to have a side conversation about this, Barb.
Everybody, take 30.
Did you notice that, like, when they're having this conversation, which is completely inconsequential, there's like 100 people behind them all listening intently.
I know.
Wow, Barb had a really good idea. She literally changed the sentence from, hi, may I take your order, to, hi, may I help you? It's brilliant. That Barb, she's going places. Look out for that Barb. She's a shooting
she's on
the star.
Fast track. Yeah.
What if Michael Jordan just like came flying and knocked everybody over? Like with
scooped
a basketball
net?
Yeah. Scooped up Barb. You got front row tickets to tonight's game, Barb.
You know, we have our operations and training manual.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like your script.
Sure.
It tells us how to do things the right way at McDonald's. Well, I used to insist that all of my team do everything strictly by the book. I mean, everything from the way they greeted the customer to how they took the order and so on.
Well, but then a lot of people started not showing up to work. So I let them do what they want to do.
Started to notice that everybody seemed a little stiff. I mean, really inflexible in the way they were serving the customers. And the customers weren't particularly responsive either.
Hmm.
So,
and now
I
we have robots
really
taking our order, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Look at the director, he's so concerned. Are you talking to me, Barb?
Wow. Ideas.
Yeah, I'm dreaming about Jason over here. We were out late last night, giving each other takeyokis. They're acting like they're at a boardroom meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're having a boardroom conversation about changing the training manuals. Bob just wants to
get
do the commercial
his,
and go on. Yeah.
I needed to talk about this. Right, Lisa? You were part of the team, man.
Well, yeah. We kicked it around and everybody agreed. We just didn't feel natural constantly repeating the same thing.
You're part of the team meeting.
Part of the team meeting.
We kicked it around.
Hey, Barb.
Hey, Tammy. What's going on?
I've just been, I don't know. It's been a long night. I haven't been able to get much sleep. I'm just thinking about how we're greeting our customers and how responsive they are to it. It just doesn't seem like it feels good. I want to loosen it up, you know? Can we have a team meeting and kick it around?
Of course we can.
I'm sorry I called you so late.
Never feel bad about calling me at 3:30 in the morning to talk over your concerns about our customers' responsiveness.
Thanks, Barb. You sure are a great manager.
You too. Click. Who was that, honey? One of those fucking dipshits that works for me. I hate this job.
We decided to lighten up a little, like ad lib a bit when we were serving people. And it worked.
It really did. People's personalities started to show through. I mean, they really started to have fun. And the customers, they really enjoy being treated like individuals, too.
You know, that really makes sense. It's like, well, I know that actors sometimes need to ad-lib a line or two. It makes their performances more natural. But I just don't want to violate any McDonald's operating procedures.
Oh. I had this one scene in Stripper Killers Part 4 where the guy just wasn't getting into the lovemaking scene. So I said, let loose, whack him off for real. And I'll tell you what, it made all the difference in the world. Sold an extra 3 DVD copies.
Well, no, don't worry about that. Our procedures are mostly in the areas of work routines and methods. And those have been developed throughout the years to make us work more efficiently. But when it comes to how we treat our customers, well, we want to impress them with our friendliness, our service. And we can't do that if we come on like robots, right?
Well, sure. Okay, let's try that scene again.
She's talking and while she smiles, which I'm always impressed with people that can do that.
They can just say, hi.
What we really want to do is this.
Maybe that's how I'll start responding about the commercial break question. Yeah. I'll just do it with a smile. Yeah. The commercial break is a great comedy podcast. You're going to love it. What's it about? Comedy. So what do you guys do? Not really sure, actually.
We wing it.
We don't know either.
Time, everybody, loosen up a little bit. Okay? Places, everyone.
Take 2.
Okay, everybody, the entire scene now. Dolly and...
Dolly, take your shirt off. Oh, sorry. I got multiple movies I'm working on.
Action.
Thank you. Come again. Hi, how you doing? May I take your order?
Yes. How about a fillet of fish, French fries, and a small Coke, please.
Will that be a large fry, sir?
Yes, please.
Sorry, small Coke machine is not working. Fillet of fish we're out of. What can I help you with?
For here?
Yes, for here.
All right. Your total comes to $3.19. I'll be right back with the order.
Thank you.
And cut. All right. Look good to me.
Woo!
How about you?
Wow.
Better.
Woo! Tony nailed it, Tony. Yeah. You get laid last night, bro? That was awesome. That was hot, hot, hot. Love it. Love it. On to the next scene. What are we doing next? Let's go. Come on. I ain't got all day here, kids. Coke dealers waiting outside. Let's go. Oops, sorry.
No, I like the opening, and then it starts to get a little formal. Now, maybe could your customer be a little more normal?
Normal?
Yeah, maybe a little less punctual.
Yeah, could you like, you know.
What was non-normal about his order?
Could you take out a gun and start shooting people?
More of like we see.
Could you call 911 because your fries aren't hot? Yeah, just more normal.
Do a TikTok.
Yeah, could you TikTok us?
Right. Oh, okay, okay. Mr. Customer, this time...
Take 3.
And action.
Thank you. Come again.
Take 23.
Take 23. This act is...
You're breaking down every little thing. Yeah.
I work at McDonald's, guys. I sign up for 23 takes.
It's taking a long time to get through this one tiny little part.
Tiny little part. Yeah, but, you know, Barb's on it. Barb, she's making everybody more loose.
Making a name for herself.
For you today. Yeah, I want a fillet of fish, French fries, and a small Coke, and nothing else, okay?
Was that supposed to be normal?
And nothing else. You hear me, you rat bastard?
Nothing else.
Not a goddamn thing else. If you try and slip me an extra French fry, I swear to God. That's not... Last time I came here, I asked for a Coke, a small Coke, a small French fry, a cheeseburger, and someone gave me an apple pie. I don't want the apple pie. Is that normal enough for you guys? How was that take? Love it, Gary. Could you do me a favor? Punch him. Just give him, punch him.
Well, will that be for here to go?
Oh, no. What's wrong, Lisa?
And then he got an attitude. Yeah. Here to go.
Welcome to McDonald's 2023.
Wow.
Customer comes on strong like that. We've really got to handle him with kid gloves. Yeah. People like that are almost always looking for a fight.
That's true.
Like they say, turn the other cheek. Now, the next time this guy comes in, he can be one of your nicest customers.
Now, on take number 37, give him your ass cheeks. I want you to moon him. I want you to spit in his coffee and put extra ketchup on his no ketchup burger. Can you do that?
That's normal.
We got to treat them normal, kids.
If you treat them right today.
You're right.
Makes sense. Got that, Jim? Let's try it again.
You got that, Jim? No, I'm a fucking dipshit. Come on, man. I got one line. You don't think I got it? It's take number 26. Hi, may I help you? Yeah, I got it. Line. Hi, may I help you? God damn it, I got it wrong again. Hi, I have hemorrhoids. shit! Line. Hi, may I help you? Hi, help you, may I? Take number 57.
And action.
Thank you. Come again.
Oh, I will.
Hi, what can I do for you today?
Yeah, I'd like a fillet of fish, a small Coke, and a fry, and nothing else, okay?
Is that a large fry?
I said a small fry.
Is that a large fry?
This is exactly what I'm talking about. I come in here trying to get a small French fry, and you try and sell me a large French fry. I said small. This is insane.
I know.
We would watch these videos go on for days.
Sorry, sir, I didn't hear you. Is that for here?
Yeah,
for here. All right, your total comes to 278. I'll be right back with the order.
Good old 278.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, and I don't like you. Yeah. I wanted to bother
to ignore you.
Yes.
And cut. Great. Well, what did you think?
That was a lot better. You know, sometimes it takes that little bit extra to avoid confrontation. Right, Lisa?
Oh, boy, does it ever. But it's worth it.
Okay, let's set up for the next scene.
But it's worth it. The last person who got beat up in our store really was disappointed. All right, I got more of that. We'll get back to it.
Wow, that's funny.
We'd watch hours of that. Hours.
Oh, yeah, when you were actually trained.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 70 tapes. You know, they had like a a break room. And in the break room, they had one of those small TVs with VHS on the bottom.
And already integrated into it.
And they'd have a big handbook, and you'd have to answer questions. Anytime you have a quiz on a training material, it sucks.
It does.
But you just keep on putting those tapes in. So I think I spent the first 5 days of my working career at McDonald's just watching those videos over and over again. And I couldn't have been more excited.
Memories.
I know. Couldn't have been more excited when I got to work the grill when I was 18 years old. Grill.
The grill.
The grill. That's where all the cool guys worked.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
That's where all the 30-somethings.
Did you have like a do-rag on?
Of course I did. Actually,
it's
back
hot.
Then it wasn't allowed. Yeah,
it's
so
hot.
You wore a hat. You wear a hat.
You wear a hat.
Yeah, you wear a hat. But you'd be constantly sweating inside of somebody else's burger. Yes. There's no two ways to avoid it. Now they just microwave everything.
Right.
I actually think they're all machines now. I think literally, the guys just preload the meat and the machine throws it down and it cooks it.
Yep.
It's awful. I used to love a good McDonald's hamburger, cheeseburger every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just not anymore. And half of it is the food. Most of it is because the food just doesn't taste the same. Doesn't taste good.
I only got the fries most recently. I mean, I only eat fast food when I go on the road.
That's it.
Like a trip.
That's
it. Yeah, a road trip.
Or I'm at a hospital.
Or you're at a hospital.
You know, two of the natural places you would eat fast food. Road trip and a hospital. Thanks, Northside. Keep that tradition going because, you know, I hope my kids get to go to the same McDonald's. All right, 21 EPM stickers are here. They're for you, tcbpodcast.com. Hit the contact us button. Send us your mailing address and your name. And we shoot those out about once every week or two. We put a whole, number of them together and we throw them in the mail. So you'll see yours in a couple of weeks. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas you'd like to share with us, or you want to ask TCB, 855-TCB-8383, 1-855-TCB-8383 from anywhere in the world, toll free. And if you'd like to join us here live on the commercial break, TCB Live, 775-TCB Live. Dial it in. Okay, at the commercial break on Instagram and youtube.com/the commercial break. Episodes the same day that they are now, Chrissy.
That's cool.
No delay. So, and we'll be on Smartless next week.
Yeah.
Tune in. On the 6th of March. All right, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
Until next time, I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
And best to you.
Until next time, we always say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.